We're continuing with our series on the spiritual disciplines entitled Disciplined Disciples. And the aim of this is for these disciplines to be tools for us, to help us to connect with God. They're not ends in themselves. They help us to know God more and to flow with his purposes in our lives. They are tools for us to use. A farmer was once asked the question, what do you do when there is a storm that is raging, that is so strong that you can't get out and work? And he responded, well, I use that time to sharpen my tools. And in this time of coronavirus, with this storm raging all around us, maybe this is the moment for us to sharpen our tools, to sharpen our approach to these spiritual disciplines so that we're ready when the time comes to move out in mission, to move out in glorifying God more and more. The tools that we've looked at so far, we have thought about engaging with the Bible on a daily basis, and we've also thought about the daily discipline of gratitude and thankfulness. And today we are thinking about fasting. Is God challenging us as individuals and as a church to sharpen our tools in these days? Very much aware, of course, that there are people engaging with this who have to go out and engage in work even in the midst of the storm. You may be a key worker, you may be caring for someone who is unwell. It may be that for you the storm is essentially in your home because you are working from home, you're trying to juggle childcare arrangements. You're very much in our prayers, and you know, for all such, there are daily prayers going up as you work on the cutting edge and as you experience lockdown and coronavirus in a particular way. May God be with you. But I hope that all of us, to some extent, will be able to engage with these spiritual disciplines. And fasting is a crucial and a neglected one. And it's true that we really don't talk about this much in the church in the West. I think that is changing, and globally, the picture is quite different. But in Western Christianity, fasting, which is abstaining from food for a time so that we can better focus on God, it's fallen into disuse. Many of us don't do this on a regular basis, but it is a great tool, a great discipline to help us to connect with our God. And when we come to the scriptures, we see that there is a clear expectation that we will fast. Got my Bible open here, and just looking at the first reading that Katie brought to us, and we see that Jesus, in verse 16 of Matthew 6, says, "When you fast." And so there is an expectation that we will fast. And that is strengthened all the more if you have a Bible open or you have it on your phone or a tablet. You look back to verse 5 of the same chapter and you see that Jesus says, when you pray, and then follows that up with practical instruction on prayer that flows out into the Lord's Prayer. When you pray and when you fast. I don't think any of us would think of prayer as an optional extra for the particularly keen and committed. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. It's such a crucial part of our Christian lives. And Jesus says, when you pray, and then he says, when you fast. There is a clear expectation that we will engage in fasting. And if we go on to our second reading in Matthew chapter 9, again, we see that same expectation. Jesus is speaking and he says, "How can guests of the bridegroom, namely him, mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast." You see it again, "then they will fast." And we are in that time now when the bridegroom, Jesus, has been taken from us. Of course, he is with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He walks with us, and that is wonderful. But physically, he has risen and ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, the place of honour and glory, and he is coming again. But physically, he is with his Father. The bridegroom for a while has been taken from us, and so we fast. Therefore, I challenge you and I challenge myself to really reflect and act as far as this discipline of fasting is concerned. But why do we do it? Why do we fast? What benefit is there to it? I want to suggest two things. And the first one is we fast to express a longing for God, to know him more, to know him more deeply in our lives. And the physical hunger, if that's what we're experiencing, mirrors a spiritual hunger and drives us to God in prayer. And I think we see that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15 again. The connection with fasting, with Jesus' physical absence. We know Jesus. He is with us by the Spirit. He has revealed himself to us by his word. It's wonderful. It's joyful. And yet we long for more. We long for more of the presence of Jesus, the power of God in our lives. And so we fast to express that longing. Of course, on a purely practical level, if we're not preparing a meal and we're not eating it, we do actually have more time to give ourselves to prayer and to seeking God. So the first thing that we can think about is a fasting which expresses a longing for God, which sharpens our spiritual appetite for more of God, to flow with the purposes of God in our lives. This is one reason why we fast. And a second and connected reason is this: we desire God himself more than we desire his good gifts. We are expressing that as we fast. God gives us food to enjoy, and he gives us many other things to enjoy as well. He has created a world that is beautiful, and although as human beings we have marred it, it is still wonderful. And there are so many things for us to enjoy, so many things that are gifts from God and which speak to us of his love. But a Christian is someone who desires God himself, who certainly loves to enjoy the gifts that God has given, but wants to press through those to know God more deeply. And when we fast, whether it's from food or indeed it may be from something else, we are saying we desire God more than his good gifts, more than anything else. We want to press through these things to know God more deeply. We think perhaps of our motto verse, our text for the year, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul sets out his manifesto. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, and that passionate desire to know God more, to know him more than his gifts, that is something that is enabled in fasting. And of course, that is something that is enabled in fasting that might go broader than just missing a meal and just drinking and having water for a time. Of course, there are reasons medically why someone might not be able to do this, and want to express a word of caution that if there are sound medical reasons why you shouldn't fast, then don't do it. Don't fast from food. Don't miss a meal if that is unwise medically. And I think would say that if you're in doubt about that, don't do it. We don't want to introduce anything that would be physically harmful. And there are other forms of fasting, and it may be that you can fast from a screen for a while, fast from screen time, fast from television. It's not easy to do in this time of lockdown, but we can find different things that we can give up, that we can put down for a season. God's good gifts. But we want to press through those. We want to express our love for God personally and deeply and intimately. And so there are things that we can put down just to show that in our lives and to really press in to God himself, to know him more deeply, more intimately. In the takeaway section that Matt is going to bring to us at the close of our service, he also says some things about fasting missionally, which have challenged me greatly as I have engaged with them. I've never really thought about that before, but here is something else that we can do. So watch out for that when it comes up in a little while. I want to encourage you, and I encourage myself very much in this because I'm not great at this, to be people who are listening to Jesus when he says, not only when you pray, but also when you fast. People who give themselves in appropriate ways to prayer and fasting. Because we long for God, because we desire to have our spiritual appetite sharpened, and because we want to say to God, we love him more than all his good gifts. And one final word that we can just think about. It struck me as I was preparing that in some ways we are in the midst of an enforced fast. There are things that we take for granted, things that are good, things that we normally do that we can't do at the moment. Maybe that there's an enforced fast from physical touch because you are living at home. It may be that there is an enforced fast from sports because that's something that you love playing or you love watching, but you can't do that anymore. It may be that you're engaging with this and you recognize that your life has become different and things that are so important to you, you can't do anymore. As we go through this time, I encourage you with all my heart from God's word and I believe by the Holy Spirit to use this time, to use these opportunities to long for God and to seek him. I know that some of you are, and I believe that God is speaking to you through this. In this time where we are asking questions, in this time where we are perhaps thrown back on a relationship with God that may have fallen into disrepair, God in love reaches out to us and invites us to long for him, invites us to have a real and deep relationship with him. He knows that this is what's best for us. And those of us who have tasted and seen that God is good can say that also. There is nothing better than knowing Jesus as Saviour and Lord. May this time of enforced fasting be for you a time of wonderful feasting, because you have come to God and you have found that Christ is enough for you. May God bless you as you hear and receive his word.